Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Deep left into the bleachers, a two-run homer.
A swing and a miss, ball game.
Liftoff.
And history marches on, 22 consecutive wins.
From the sports desk of the Akron Beacon Journal and Ohio.com, this is Leading Off with Ryan Lewis, a podcast on the Cleveland Indians.
Santana makes the catch! Ball game! The Indians have won the American League pennant!
The Cleveland Indians are going to the World Series!
Now, Ryan Lewis and Dan Kadar.
Hey everybody, welcome back to a new Leading Off. This is Dan Kadar from Ohio.com, and of course Ryan is here as well. Ryan, how's it going today?
It's going all right. How about you, Dan?
Very good. The Indians are down to the home stretch, really, as we're recording this here on Tuesday afternoon. There are 17 games remaining. Of course, the Indians finish off these couple games in Los Angeles against the Angels, and they have another big series at home in Cleveland, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday against the Twins, and they have the punching bag Detroit Tigers after that. And then, you know, the last three series for the Indians, they were home versus the Philadelphia Phillies, and they're on the road to end the year with three against the White Sox and three against the Nationals, and that's going to be it. And as we record this today, Ryan, the Indians are sitting five games behind Minnesota. They're a half a game out of the second wild card spot. Really, I thought, you know, if we recorded this before the last Minnesota series, which was last Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Minnesota, I was going to be pretty grim. And then they went in and won two out of three against the Twins, and they won the first game of the series against the Angels. So the Indians are kind of hanging on to their playoff chances there. Like I said, a half game out of the second wild card spot. Let's start this way and see where it takes us. If you were to describe the Indians' chances of making the playoffs in a single word, what would your word be?
If we're talking about making the playoffs.
Yes.
I think the word is, or the term is, coin flip right now. You know, the Indians, as a couple of weeks ago, the Indians had about as much momentum as any team in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And you could start with the day that Corey Kluber had his setback. The Indians are still working with a lot of uncertainty in terms of his status and how much he may be able to contribute, whether it's near the end of this month or possibly even in October. And then roughly a week later, Jose Ramirez goes down. And, you know, you could add on Tyler Naquin going down. So things have kind of started to build against the Indians and their chances. Right now, you know, Fangraphs projects them to have a 47.8% chance as of this recording to make the postseason, which is less than both the Rays and the A's. And one of the reasons for that, you can look to those injuries, but you can also look to the schedules that these teams have. And specifically, once the A's get past, you know, right now they're in a series in Houston. Once they get past that series, they have a very favorable schedule where they will not play, you know, as of right now. The Rangers have a record close to 500, and the A's and the Rangers will play six games throughout the rest of this month. But as of right now, after this series in Houston, the A's do not play another series against a team with a record of 500 or better. It's a very favorable schedule. And then the Tampa Bay Rays, they do play the Dodgers, they do play the Yankees, they do play the Red Sox. But you know, their schedule isn't necessarily daunting either. And another thing in terms of the schedule that's really interesting as it relates to the Indians, is that those final three games of the season, when a lot of this may be decided, the Indians will not have that DH spot in Washington.
Right.
Which means the effect of Fran Moraes is severely reduced. And in a lineup already without Jose Ramirez, that's something that can really hurt, and that may be a key factor. You mentioned the series. If we're talking about the division race, the term is probably long shot. Calling baseball games must-win games is probably an overused term. In general, this time of year, it does apply a little more so. The Indians probably have to win this series, if not sweep the Twins, to really put themselves in a position to really challenge for the division. And that's not necessary. It's possible that things could could turn out in a positive way for the Indians, even if they don't play well. But it's probably needed to at least win this series against the Twins to keep the division, at least as a possible option here. The Twins did receive a blow a few days ago with Michael Pineda being suspended. It's possible that hurts them more so just in a playoff series. He likely would have been a Game 3 starter in a series. So in terms of if that's enough to tip the scales, I don't know about that. Things are not looking good for the Indians in terms of the division. And in the wild card, again, I'd go with coin flip. I'm curious to see what term you would use. But, if it had to tip one way or the other, it's probably closer to 49% than 51% right now.
Yeah, my term was outside, as in an outside chance of making it. That sweep by Tampa Bay, I think when the season's over, if the Indians miss the playoffs, that is the games that people are going to look back on and say, boy, you needed to get one of those or two of those. And I know you can look over the whole schedule and pinpoint, close losses here or there where, one play maybe changed the game. But I think that series against the Rays is going to be the one where that's the team the Indians are going to have to overtake, and the A's as well, obviously. But that Rays series, I think it put the Indians on an outside chance of making it here. And you make a great point about Franmil Reyes in those last three games in Washington, so no DH. Do you think, if you arrive at the ballpark, like for this Minnesota series, are we going to see him early before the game working out in the outfield a little bit? Or do you think the Indians are just going to ride with him as a pinch hitter in that last series of the season? Which, again, it's a little far off because there's 17 games left, but it's a great point. Do you think the Indians will try and work him into the outfield at all?
I think it's a possibility, but it's based on multiple factors. If it's entering that series, say in Chicago, the three games before, Reyes is totally locked in, like he was in Detroit a week or two ago. If he's totally locked in and Yasiel Puig is really scuffling, really struggling, then maybe there's enough of a compelling argument to just deal with Reyes defensively for as long as you can in a game. Maybe if you're leading late, you can take him out. But if there's a compelling enough argument that you need his bat in the lineup over somebody else's who might be scuffling, Reyes, if he's hot enough at that moment at the plate, perhaps then it could become an option. The Indians, they've done some creative things before. Carlos Santana played left field in the World Series. And, Tito kind of even joked about it. Well, not joked about it, but kind of like a nervous laugh type situation, where he said every ball that was hit to him, he was kind of holding his breath, and if Santana made a mistake, Tito was going to put that on him. Tito was going to take the blame for anything that may have happened in terms of an error or just something drastic out there. They've done that before. I wouldn't be surprised if they're preparing it to at least be an option. He is not great defensively. He does not rate very well. But if there's a compelling enough argument, know, they need, may need to try to maximize everyone that they can as to, you know, and to as much of a degree as they can. Because I kind of agree. Again, I said coin flip, but if, you know, things are, don't seem to be trending the right direction for the Indians based on scheduling, based on, you know, their play. You read off the Rays series, even the recent White Sox series, which is one that the Indians, you know, really needed to play well. They need to take every easy game that they can.
Mm-hmm.
And even the games that they won, one of those games, probably one of the uglier wins in Terry Francona's, you know, tenure in Cleveland. 18 combined walks, some poor defensive play. It was a win. It counts the same, but it wasn't exactly pretty. And the other win likely would not have happened if not for Oscar Mercado's play of the year in center field that totally saved Brad Hand in the bullpen in that ninth inning. So, you know, the Indians haven't quite been playing their, you know, their best baseball. And these injuries are starting to kind of stack up at the wrong time. The scheduling is starting to stack up at the wrong time. You know, they certainly have their work cut out for them. I agree with Fangraphs that the Indians have the lowest percentage chance of nabbing one of these playoff spots, but it's also something that, again, it may come down to that last day or two. And yeah, I could see the Indians at least trying to get creative if kind of everything falls into place.
Yeah, I don't know. The way Puig's been playing and the way Reyes has been playing, I think I take the chance with Reyes to start in the outfield and maybe get replaced as a defensive replacement if you're winning.
Right. I mean, if that's continuing still,
yeah.
You know, Puig's really been scuffling. You know, right now, if the series was right now, yeah, and I think there's an argument to go ahead and try him in right field and just hope that that doesn't become, you know, a key part of any game, but you keep his bat in the lineup, and, you know, there's some value there right now.
Mm-hmm. So since we're talking kind of about the end of the season, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, sure, but let's keep talking about it.
let's go further.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's the talking point now for the Indians, the end here. I think there's no chance they can win the division unless they sweep Minnesota and get really lucky. So we're really talking about the wild.
Probably.
Yeah. We're really talking about the wild card here. And it's a one-game thing, which I hate, by the way. I hate a one-game playoff series, even though it would be hard to do a three-game series. But be that as it may, it's a one-game series for the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Terry Francona, and you, let's say everybody is good to go, you have your pick here, would you start Mike Clevinger or Shane Bieber in a one-game wild card game?
So this is a really fun question, and I think for most of the season, and you know, we were talking a little bit today to prepare for this, and I kept looking over everything. It's, you know, coin flip is kind of, I guess, my term of the day. It's really close for me, and I think for most of the season I would have said Bieber, which is amazing for a guy who started the season as the number five mm-hmm. in this rotation, his first full season in the big league. And you're talking about giving him the ball, you know, in a win or go home situation. But I, you know, he's certainly earned that. He's been, you know, one of the more consistent starting pitchers in baseball, not just, you know, on this team in this division. You know, he's been tremendous. That being said, and that's certainly not a wrong answer for anyone who wants to see Bieber on the mound, Clevinger has been on such a roll since he's come back that I might take the ceiling over the floor, if that makes sense, where Bieber's been so consistent that he's probably going to throw six innings and give up two runs on five hits and strike out eight guys. And both these guys have pitched relatively well against some of the better offenses that they faced. So there isn't a whole lot separating them, I don't think. Mike Clevinger, when he's on, has really found a new level. It's the level that he was at early in the season. I know you were a big proponent of his in terms of if he can stay healthy, his Cy Young chances. That's mm-hmm. the level that he's pitched at least in terms of being a contender for it. Based on all the evidence, if he's healthy, he's probably right in the mix of at least being a Cy Young finalist, or at least a contender for a Cy Young finalist. It's a tough call, man. It's really cool. I don't think there's a lot separating these two. Both of these guys have pitched to the level of being, you know, an ace level guy for this rotation. It's quite the statement with on a team that dealt Trevor Bauer, has been without Corey Kluber and Carlos Carrasco for most of the season, that these two guys have really anchored the rotation. I think today, because he's been on such a roll, and when he's on, he has a slightly, you know, higher chance of delivering, you know, seven shutouts, say, in terms of giving you just consistent production. So I may give the ball to Clevinger, but it's really, really close.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Look, I've made no qualms about my Mike Clevinger fanboyism here on leading off. So I still maintain if he was healthy the whole season, he's the Cy Young winner. And it's pretty remarkable with Bieber. I think he's going to be a finalist, really. You know, Justin Verlander is going to win the award. Mike Minor's up there, too. But after that, I think Shane Bieber is maybe the best pitcher in the American League for the entire season. So
he's got a shot. I mean, you've got Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole. And
true.
You know, Houston, yes. Very well, depending on how this finished out, they may have won, too, in the Cy Young race.
Yeah.
The Rangers also have a duo. And then you've got Charlie Morton in Tampa and probably Shane Bieber, you know, in that discussion. And Mike Clevinger is likely pretty high up on that list if he stays healthy, based on what we've seen.
Yeah.
Those two have just made such a statement on this year. And it's, you know, it's a credit to them that, you know, we're having this discussion. And I think it's pretty close. And it could also be something where the Indians just ride the hot hand, you know,
truth.
On routine and schedule and recent performance, and that determines it to where they don't have to lock themselves in anything at this point.
Right. Yeah. We're, like I said, we're getting a little ahead on this one, but I think it's an interesting talking point. You certainly can't go wrong with Bieber. I just like Clevinger a lot. I think he's nails. Ryan, anything else before we close out a little short one this week?
No, just one more thought on that, though.
Sure.
The fun element is if Corey Kluber would be healthy in this scenario.
Yeah.
But he didn't have a setback and he's pitching pretty well. You know, is there enough time to where you trust him? And it's an interesting element to where, you know, I'm someone who, I know there are a lot of fans out there that are not happy with Corey Kluber's postseason performance the last couple of years. But if you're going to add that as a factor, you also have to consider the run that he was on in 2016 when he carried that rotation. It was Corey Kluber, Andrew Miller, and Cody Allen, to a very large degree, carried that pitching staff through to Game 7 of the World Series. When Kluber was pitching that Game 7, not only on short rest, but short rest for the second consecutive time. That's kind of the fun scenario. It looks like that's not going to, you know, become the case where it's, Corey Kluber is certainly not going to be stretched out to start that game unless he makes a very quick recovery here and they use an opener type situation. But I think they have the options to where they don't need to force that. It's a credit to Clevinger and Bieber.
It really is. And we will talk more about the Indians next week. Like I said, they got the big series coming up at home against the Twins. It's part of a 9-game homestand before they end the season on the road with a couple series, and it's still interesting. So the Indians are, if nothing else, a fun roller coaster this season. We will talk about that more next week here on the Leading Off podcast. Make sure you're following Ryan on Twitter. He's at @ByRyanLewis. You can find all of his work and more over at ohio.com/Indians. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you next time.